We'll see.
No, I guess we still have it. Release may be limited to designated release times. Okay, so you kept the may. So what gives us the authority to actually review the logs? I mean, somebody brought up, do we have any authority to compel the production of a log of when detainees are released and to review that log?
Well, 2 points, I guess. Number one, for that particular item you identified 2B, what it says may be limited to designated release times, it does say will be implemented. So I think that may be the more important verb there, is that it will be implemented under these following conditions. So it is a will.
Okay.
And in discussing with the, at least the property owner's representative, they had indicated that they can basically maintain a log, but obviously that's ultimately going to be up to, from the sounds of it, ICE. I mean, the attorney speaking today was speaking for the property owner.
And I'm going to have to pause you. I made a mistake. I need to allow for 5 minutes rebuttal by the applicant. Then we will talk to you.
Okay.
Sorry. Sir, you have 5 minutes. Thank you, Miro.
John Junkin again on behalf of the applicant. Hopefully we'll be briefer than 5 minutes. Appreciate there are a lot of issues raised. I guess it's unfortunate this time that people are so angry that they just won't trust government. But I guess we have to live with that. I want to clarify that
we do live with that.
Yeah, I know you appreciate that probably more than most. I want to clarify that I'm speaking on behalf of the applicant. This is an application for a development, a private development by a private party. We are should be treated like any other private applicant, private developer, including conditions of approval. My client is agreeable to the language as proposed by the staff for these release of detainees. Now, people have been focusing on the language in the policy. I can appreciate that. It uses some permissive language, as they say. That is the ICE policies. My client is agreeable to the language as proposed by the staff and the conditions of approval, that we will transport these people away, that we will maintain a log. We recognize we have to deal with the tenant on that issue. That is an issue between us and the tenant to deal with. That's not an issue. Commissioner Fish raised a question about the federalism and whether we can city can enforce certain conditions against the federal government. We don't have to go there. You can enforce them against my client. My client is the one who's at risk here.
That you can revoke the conditional use permit against your client.
Right. And my client will protect ourselves, hopefully, that the federal government will do what's required, that we are
required. There's a requirement, an agreed-upon requirement of a log, and your tenant does not comply with that, you know the risk is that the city could enforce it by revoking your permit.
Yes.
Could you address for a moment, several people testified about the number 35 bus stop.
Yes.
And asked and were concerned that that would qualify as a mass transit location, which would technically comply with this. Could you address that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, when we received the policy, obviously the term mass transit is there. And by the way, I should, for full disclosure, divulge, I'm a resident of the South Waterfront community and in favor of this, actually. But I'm aware that there's a streetcar and there's a bus line close by. I have conferred with the ICE people, and their policy was not intended to allow the use of that stop, bus stop or that streetcar as a mass transit. And we need further clarification that that is not included as mass transit. We can work on that language. We can be agreeable to that.
In light of the fact we've had testimony that the language is vague, and in light of what your client is at least willing to tighten on this, I think some clarification would be useful on the record.
Well, if I might just add to that, though, presumably if the released person happens to live on the number 35 bus line, you would let them catch the bus to go home. Just a thought.
It would seem appropriate, wouldn't it? And if they lived in South Waterfront, they could walk home, I suppose. A lot of issues have been raised here, but I wanted to make a real strong point in my short rebuttal that we are the applicant. We're a private developer. It's private property. City, like any other application for a development like this, can enforce conditions of approval. We are agreeable to this. We realize we have an issue with the tenant. That's our issue, and we will deal with that. We believe, though, getting back to the hearings officer's decision, the hearings officer made a decision to deny on a sole issue about the direct release, and he did so because he said there was a lack of a recommendation or position taken by the Portland Police Bureau on that issue. As I pointed out in my initial testimony, in the record already is a June 20th memo from Portland Police Bureau saying that there is no concern as to posing an unreasonable threat for the location of this detention facility. That satisfied the hearings officer in regards to the issues such as the proximity of the school, similar issues. But he said they didn't specifically address the direct release. We've come back with evidence of conditions of approval that were agreeable to address that. The more recent memo from the Portland Police Bureau specifically says it's a clarification of this question, whether it poses an unreasonable risk. And the reason they're clarifying is, and they say it again, it's not an unreasonable risk, and we specifically now are saying we're looking at the direct release of detainees, and we think it does not pose an unreasonable risk. So we think the hearings officer, first of all, was in error when he denied the conditional use based upon not having information that he wanted to have when there's plenty of information that would support our position. But notwithstanding, we believe now that we have addressed his concern specifically by addressing the direct release of detainees, by specifically having the recommendation or position of the Portland Police Bureau on that issue, we've addressed that. So we think we are in compliance at this time with what the concerns of the hearings officer had. We don't think that required any new evidence, required a clarification from the, required new conditional approval and clarification by the police bureau, and that's before you. With that, unless there are any questions, there was a lot of issues raised. I can appreciate
I have a question.
Concerns, but.
So one of the conditions says ICE will maintain a log of all detainees released at the site. That log shall be made available to BDS compliance staff in situations where complaints received. So you're the applicant, you're not ICE. So how can you put language in there that says ICE shall do this, ICE shall do that?
Well, we can't proceed with our development unless we know we can comply with the terms. We will have to work that out with ICE.
Well, and that's...
No, that we cannot do the development. ICE is not the applicant here.
Well, I know it probably isn't, but I guess it sounds a little bit to me, you know, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm not even a land use expert, it sounds a little bit like a parsing of words or a little bit of a subterfuge.
Well,
you're not ICE, but you're committing ICE to do X, Y, and Z.
No, I'm committing
saying that, okay, we can revoke their condition of compliance.
No, I'm only committing my client, the applicant, to do that. Now, we have to get ICE to go along or else it's not going to happen.
So the question I was about to ask Douglas Hardy, or maybe I even asked it, is how does the Bureau of Development Services have the authority to compel from ICE? And I guess your answer is we don't.
They compel the property owner.
Yeah, so let me understand. I appreciate that. But if, can you hand me that a second? If our code compliance officer, and I have a feeling this will be watched very closely and there will be complaints on a frequent basis that we will follow up on. If you, your client, cannot produce an ICE showing the post, if you cannot produce evidence that ICE is complying with any of these provisions where they're mentioned, if you cannot produce evidence that satisfies our compliance folks, we have the right potentially to say that you're out of compliance with the conditional use permit, and therefore we go after you.
Right.
Which means if in terms of follow-up, do we have standing or whatever the right word is to shut the place down?
I mean, we have code provisions in place for enforcement that allow us a wide range of enforcement options, one of which is to revoke the permit, which would mean they would no longer have the ability to have that use at the site. They would no longer, they'd be operating without a conditional use permit.
So it's the same thing as if we require a business to show that the building that they're occupying is complying with other regulations from other bureaus, like, let's say, fire or what have you, which are the responsibility of the building owner, sort of the reverse of what we're talking about here. Yes. I just want to make sure that you said if you are unsuccessful in getting ICE to comply, I just want to hear from staff, and so maybe we're done with you. I don't know.
But Mayor, can I just pursue that for a second?
Yeah, that we have the right to pursue enforcement, including all the way up to requiring them to leave.
So in the time that I've been on the council, my understanding is that what we normally do is we put conditions on the applicant. We don't imagine future lessees or a change of title or something. We say the applicant, and the applicant is then required to conform. And if the applicant puts another tenant in, then the same conditions apply. And our recourse is against the title holder. In this case, the applicant's the landowner. Yeah, so we're giving the applicant is. I'm just trying to put this in plain English so I understand it. Okay. So forgive me, but the applicant is seeking permission to do something that is not as of right under our code. The applicant is making representations to us that if we give your client the right to do this, he or she will enforce these provisions. And if and our recourse is against you and your client. And if your client's out of compliance, then we have the right to shut the facility down and revoke the permit.
You have a variety of remedies.
Land use matters, my understanding is it is the applicant over whom we have the right to enforce the code, not to a lessee or someone to whom it's been transferred, as long as title stays with the applicant. Is that right?
That's correct. For example, if we put a tenant in there, I was an applicant, but I was going to put a tenant in there who was going to do a use not permitted in the base zone, you'd come after me, not the tenant.
So if we were to approve this today, you would have to return to us with an agreement signed by ICE that complies with all the conditions that the applicant, you, are agreeing to on their behalf?
Well, you have not asked for that. What you asked for is a condition of approvals that require the applicant to do certain things. My client will have to deal with ICE and make sure that within the lease agreement that the proper language is to protect my client. At least I'd advise my client to protect my client.
Well, I mean, is it proper to make a condition of approval that we should review the lease agreement?
Well, do you want to start down that slippery slope? You have a lot of applications in here that seek a development of property that are going to have tenants in there. If I'm not aware of the city taking that position that you want to start reviewing leases. But I'd have to review that.
That seems to be the clinch point here for me anyway.
But that would be done in any case where a developer comes in for a shopping center. Do you want to review all the leases with the different retail users in there?
Well, in fairness, I think on what Commissioner Salzman's point is, we don't actually deal with a lot of these kinds of applications involving a detention facility. And we don't often, as a matter of land use matters, issues, deal this in such detail with safety considerations. So I think since there's a public safety component and a fairly unique question about a detention facility, which, by the way, the council unanimously recommended that against the original advice and said, you got to go have this hearing because we think it is a detention facility. This is a little different. And so having something in writing as part of a follow-up seems to me to be not unreasonable, and I'm not sure we would ask just around routine land use matters to see something in
writing. I think it is sort of a belt and suspenders to your and what Commissioner Fish is arguing is that might be appropriate here. The other reason why it might be appropriate is because we are, and for those of you that are not used to dealing with these kinds of issues, the federal government normally, if they were to buy this building, we wouldn't be having a hearing. They can do what they want. They supersede when they own property. They supersede local laws for the most part. So there is more safeguards being built into this than you normally would get. These safeguards are not in place for the folks that live around or workaround, or the Emerson School that's nearby the 511 building. So thank you.
May I suggest if the council is inclined to proceed down that path of getting some assurance that the tenant is agreeable to complying, that maybe rather than the lease is just a letter from ICE at some point. I think the situation...
Something signed by both parties, and it's not our job to tell you what its form is, but whether it's a lease or a separate document signed...
Affidavit or something.
Or affidavit, but something that memorializes the commitment would, I think, at least address some of the skepticism you've heard.
Right.
Particularly since, while you are on the hook if these conditions are violated, you are impliedly saying that they are acceptable to your tenant, and therefore your tenant should have no quarrel with putting that in writing.
Well, let me put it this way. It's a lot quicker for me to get my client, the private party, to agree to this than I'm sure it's going to take ICE and the federal government to run it up the chain of command to see if they're comfortable with
I have a feeling they're going to find a way to do that.
We're patient.
We'd like to get this project moving, though. We're the ones who are probably less patient.
We use the word affidavit.
Affidavit.
So I would not snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat, or whatever the right phrase is.
Defeat
out of the jaws of victory. We modified not lease, but affidavit.
Or declaration.
Yeah. Mayor, before you bring staff up, may I ask for just some
clarification? Thank you, sir. Yes.
So is the idea that there would be a condition of approval that requires the two parties to submit something signed agreeing to those, not that they would in the next week or two give you something signed before a decision is made? That's what I'm trying to figure out, if you're asking for a condition of approval or you're actually asking for something that might be, say, new evidence in the
I think
next
it's a condition
bit.
Of approval.
No, it's a condition of approval.
Okay.
Mr. Hardy, could you come back up here? And what we suggested and clarified by the discussion up here, are you okay with that as our lawyer? Is that some sort of affidavit or declaration, something that
I'll work with staff on some appropriate language.
So, Douglas Hardy with BDS. For fear of maybe oversimplifying this, so the proposed language that I had was that ICE will maintain a log of all detainees released at the site. If that were to be reworded to say a log of all detainees released at the site shall be maintained without reference to ICE, that by itself is basically just saying that somebody has to maintain a log. If in the event that there is a complaint filed with BDS compliance services will be going after the property owner. So I'm just wondering if it's really necessary to have that condition of approval, because as was stated previously, If that condition is not basically applied, that somebody is maintaining a log.
Why are you making the suggestion?
Just in terms of possibly simplifying the need for another condition of approval.
But your proposed language specifically says ICE will maintain, and all the council suggested is they would like to have that confirmed by someone other than the applicant,
right,
i.e. ICE.
Right.
Because otherwise what we're entering into potentially is a futility.
Yeah, I appreciate the spirit of your suggestion. I would prefer to go with a variation on what Commissioner Saltzman and Fish talked about, some sort of declaration or acknowledgement that the tenant of the responsible party has agreed to these conditions, and I think it's in your best interest to get some sort of commitment up front.
And Mayor, I'll just speak for myself. My desire is not to create a claim, a right of action against ICE through such a document. My interest is to have ICE confirm that these representations that the applicant are making are conditions which they agree to adhere to.
I agree.
Okay.
All right, so would someone like to make a motion?
I guess the only other issue I'd like to discuss,
yes,
is the issue around, earlier I suggested a condition that ICE must transport people to a transit-free zone. I appreciate Ms. Godfrey's statements that may violate, in fact, legal rights, constitutional rights. But I do, since one of the release conditions may be to a transit location, and there is concern about the transit location being the 35 bus line, I guess, a block away. Could we get rid of that condition and just simply go with the ice may release at a mutually agreed upon location, along with still releasing individuals at the site if there's a...
I think, at least from the testimony we heard today, that probably is not specific enough for those people who are concerned. That could mean that the agreed place is the 35 bus stop in South Waterfront.
Well, I guess Mr. Duncan demonstrated some flexibility and maybe work on that issue too. And since we're going to come back now and revisit this, I would ask you.
Right.
You and ICE can maybe think about that.
And I think from staff's perspective, certainly it may be preferable to be more specific where they are released when they're transported. Something like the transit fare zone in downtown Central City may be too broad because we have a lot of housing in Central City downtown as well. So are we just displacing the problem there? It may be, for example, the Justice Center downtown, to throw something out, maybe you're somewhere where you could say they have to be transported to that particular location or something. Where
I don't understand what the problem is that is trying to be addressed here. If ICE has determined that people are safe to be released to the community, then that's we have to take their assessment for that. Where the particular drop-off point is doesn't seem to be relevant to me.
I've been listening to this discussion, and I really appreciate Commissioner Fritz's comment just now, and agree with perspective. I, in addition to whatever concerns the federal government may have about the constitutional rights of prisoners that are released, I do agree with Commissioner Fritz's perspective.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. And the only point is, I want them to be able to get home. So certainly, being released in the middle of the night when the transit's not running would be part of it. Would you, in this designated release time, is there any discussion of when a designated, that there would be designated release times?
There hasn't been any discussion on that point in terms of what those times would be.
Because my concern is that people have been in custody and, as has been mentioned, were in shackles, but have been now found to be safe to be in the community. So I want those folks to be able to get home to their family.
I don't think the language prescribes a release time.
No.
I think, Mayor, I think the council is ready to proceed on this. My understanding is there's two questions. One is whether there's consensus on conditions of approval, and the second is agreement on, if appropriate, additional time for the parties to submit.
So you're going to make a motion?
So, first, counsel, could you guide me on the record issue?
So, there have been the opponent to the appeal had identified at least four documents that they believed contained new evidence. It would be up to counsel to decide whether, if they do believe those documents contain new evidence, whether they wish to strike them from the record and not consider them, or alternatively, given that this was advertised as a on-the-record hearing, they could remedy the fact that there is new evidence by allowing all parties to have a chance to rebut that evidence during, say, a 7-day period. One or the other.
So I would propose, Mayor, along with you, the latter option. It's cleaner, and it will avoid any problems with the record. It gives people a chance, if they believe they need to be heard, to put something in within 7 days.
Okay.
Do you want us to deal with these as separate matters or as a combined motion?
Well, I think you could. I mean, unless we want to actually try to identify, if we give a rebuttal period to address new evidence,
we
wouldn't
just
have to deal with them each individually.
No, we just, and let me pause. Is everyone on council fine with a 7-day leaving the record open and opportunity to rebut?
I'm actually not, because my... what I've heard today and my conclusion is based on things that are certainly in the record, particularly the June 20th memo from the police, the fact that the opponents of the appeal agreed that the 911 building safety record was raised at the hearing. So those two pieces of evidence are what I'm basing my decision on, also with the code requirement that the council is required to approve an application if it meets the approval criteria or can be conditioned to meet the applicable approval criteria. And what the staff has proposed as the new conditions of approval are not the same as the new evidence in the record. They may be based on it or agreed to by the applicant, but that would be what we would be doing anyway, is asking the applicant, do you agree to these proposed conditions of approval? Or else not even asking them, just putting the conditions of approval in place, and then if the applicant doesn't want to do them, they don't move forward with the application. So I'm not sure what the utility of disputing other evidence, which I'm not using to base my decision.
Well, just to keep things very clear, having taken that into consideration, is there a majority on council? And I'm one vote or one straw poll that would keep the record open for 7 days, just because I think it is the cleanest way after those 7 days to proceed.
I would support that.
So then if you waited 7 days with the record open, then we wouldn't take a tentative today. You'd wait until after the record closed?
That's correct. You have a tentative time penciled in on October 5th, and you would take a tentative vote at that time and direct that findings be prepared following that date.
So I guess, again, I have to agree with Commissioner Fritz. I'm not sure at this point purpose that serves.
Well, I don't want to have a fight. We either invest in 7 days of making sure that everyone had fair shot at having a clean record, or we have the potential risk that beyond, moving forward, that there's going to be fights over whether it was new or old evidence.
We would at that point, if we went with Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Leonard's approach, we would identify, there were four specific pieces of evidence that were identified. We would go through and make it clear that council did not base its decision on those,
yeah.
And in the findings, clearly, council could not rely on that evidence.
I would be comfortable with that approach.
I would too, Mayor. I think council. I think we have quality attorneys that could isolate that.
But is your interpretation open to disagreement from others that those aren't the only four items that were disputed as new?
It's certainly possible.
Okay.
I only heard them identify four letters, but.
So let me just rethink my previous position, knowing that this council directed the applicant to start over and go through the conditional use for the detention facility, which was going through the process very carefully, that it probably wouldn't hurt to do it with a longer step, just to make sure that everybody feels that everything has been done properly and that they've had their opportunities to comment.
And it is also my understanding that should council delay its tentative decision to October 5th, the applicant by letter has agreed to extend the 120-day clock to October 28th, which would give us adequate time.
I think in the long term, because of the amount of disagreement over what's new or old and its vehemence, I think it's going to be more certain timeline moving forward with the 7 days open and then tentative on October.
And Mayor Adams, if I could just say, listening carefully to Commissioner Fritz's point, she made it very clear that she believes there is evidence in the record upon which to make a decision, and specifically referred to the submission by the police bureau that predates that was part of the record before the hearing officer. So I think what the council would urge people is not, if we're going to go through this exercise, not to just submit any argument or any claim. Commissioner Fritz, who is a close reader of the record in these cases, has said she believes there is adequate evidentiary basis for her to act. So we're looking for something more than just arguing the case again and the merits of the case. But we're looking to the question of whether there's something that's been put forth at this hearing as evidence that we should not consider, recognizing Commissioner Fritz thinks there's enough in the record now to act. So the threshold is pretty high, but I think just to have a clean record, it makes sense, Mayor.
Are you comfortable with that approach? I would like to have, if counsel would ask the attorney if they're going to object to this, I would like to know because it's mostly evidence.
Are you going to object to this?
Well, I'd like some clarification first. In this 7-day period, are we, people, anybody's allowed to put into evidence further evidence in response to those four documents?
In response to any new evidence that was submitted since the hearings officer's decision. So it can't be evidence of any kind. It is evidence responding to new evidence that's been submitted since the hearings officer's decision.
If we could have that list of four things could help us understand what those, what we'd be responding to. I'm not sure what they were.
The four items that were identified during the opponents of the appeals testimony were an August 31st memorandum from the Police Bureau, a September 20th letter from ICE that included Multnomah County data, a September 15th letter from the GSA, and it was at least alleged to contain new evidence, the security plan from ICE, and I'm sorry, I don't have a date on that.
I don't understand why we're allowing comments on those, why we're not just striking them for the record and asking if anybody thinks anything else should be struck from the record.
I'm sorry.
I don't understand why we're soliciting comments on the content of those four that you just said, rather than asking, was there something else that was introduced that wasn't part of the record prior to the close of the record?
I believe that's within counsel's discretion to decide whether to include them in the record and request, give people the opportunity to rebut that evidence with additional evidence or strike them from the record and base the decision on only evidence that was submitted prior
to
the hearings
officer. We could include them.
I understood you to say that it stipulates that those four pieces of evidence would not be considered by counsel and that would satisfy whatever legal concerns there were that something that was new on the record.
I mean, perhaps what you want to do is get on the record from the opponents whether they believe there is other new evidence outside of those four documents, and then counsel could simply determine whether they need to rely on those four documents in making a decision or not.
So the opponent, will you come up here, please? Principal opponent.
Yes, there are more. And the date is August 17th.
It's everything that was in the file. And these are all the documents. If you want to peruse them, that's fine. The file's there. So it's everything that was there after July 18th, 4:30 p.m., as was told to me succinctly by your hearings officer.
So to be clear, there's a difference between new evidence and argument. I have not reviewed all of those to determine whether all of those documents contain new evidence.
Right.
As compared to argument, so that may be an argument for giving the 7 days.
Well,
Well, what it is it's intertwined inside. There's argument with spiced with new evidence, so it's very skillfully done.
Sir,
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm slow, but I don't understand when it is clear black letter that nothing is going to get into the record after a particular date and material appears in the record or at least in the file and then somehow transmortifies itself into the record. What the heck are we talking about? It's either is or it isn't.
Apparently, there's a difference between new evidence and argument. And so I would just... this, I think, is a reason to have the 7 days so that folks can make whatever challenges and arguments they want to make. The city attorney can review and discern if there's any distinction between evidence and argument.
And, Mayor, just for the record, it's been a long day, but to extend the record in this case is to say to the opponents of this application, we want to give you a full and fair opportunity to make your case in writing.
So I understand
so let's,
that.
Let's be clear on that. This is not trying to pull a fast one. This is trying to make sure the record is clear, and it gives the opponents the opportunity to make any arguments they want us to see in writing.
I understand that, but let me make myself clear, if I can. What the mayor has just said seems to be a distinction without a difference. I don't understand how you can make have new evidence without making an argument.
Well, as I understood Attorney Reese, that additional arguments that came in after the hearings code that use old, so you can make new arguments from old material, but you can't bring in new evidence. Is that a fair summary? Or say it in your own words.
Yes. Do you want me to just say yes or no?
No, just say it in your own words.
Nobody would be able to testify at all if people weren't able to make arguments. So something that is describing stuff that is already in the record, we'll use a different word, stuff instead of evidence, stuff that is already in the record, and you're simply talking about it. For example, people who talked about safety of the school, that is something that has been talked about. It's not new evidence. Something, I mean, I'm trying to think of an example. The best example I can think of is ICE could submit a letter talking about things that they'd already had in the record, but when they brought in new statistics about Multnomah County detainees, that's new evidence. It doesn't make the whole letter new evidence. It makes those pieces of information in the letter new evidence. We have not parsed all of the documents that have been submitted since the hearings officer's decision to know what it is. It seems reasonable to allow, if that's counsel's desire, to allow people 7 days to respond to any of the new evidence that has been submitted since the hearings officer's
decision.
So
I would make that motion.
But I've got a question.
Second. Now we'll debate the motion. Commissioner Saltzman.
The ICE custody release plan was submitted in August. Is that considered new evidence?
September.
Condition of approval.
They submitted as a condition of approval.
Condition of approval.
Okay. We're considering it as a condition of approval, so that's different.
Could you state the motion? I didn't hear it.
The motion is, please restate the motion, Commissioner Fish. I'm tired of malanging people and summarizing poorly.
I believe our motion is to continue the hearing to a date certain on October 5th at
3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock, and to give any party an opportunity to rebut any alleged new evidence over the next 7 days.
And so, Sue, could you give the date and then a 5 p.m. time for when that 7 day expires?
7 days from today, Sue.
So I guess I need to ask a clarifying question. If this motion passes and then wait till that time to allow us to make argument about new evidence, how does that change the circumstance we find ourselves? I mean, don't we still then find ourselves in the place of having to stipulate to some new evidence if come in that we won't consider to
No, the people have the opportunity to submit rebuttal evidence during the 7 day period. And then but there's no right to sur rebuttal at that point. Meaning that's the end of new evidence. You can declare that.
I see. So we can actually allow new evidence up until set.
That new evidence would respond only to evidence that has been submitted since the hearings officer's decision. So no new evidence about completely new issues. It would have to respond to evidence that is alleged to be new evidence since the hearings officer's decision.
So just to be clear about my I'm just wondering, does that allow person to appeal to Luke if they argue that evidence was allowed after the officer's decision.
Not if we do this.
It's not appropriate that we meet, and we don't stipulate that we're not using that as part of our decision.
So if we don't do this, then if we risk not having stipulated all new evidence correctly.
Okay.
If we don't allow folks who claim new evidence has been introduced but after the hearing, after the deadline, if we don't allow them to respond to that, and that's all the opportunity they get. They don't get to re-argue this whole thing, but if we don't give them an opportunity to do that and we don't identify correctly as a council all the new evidence that we did not use to make our decision, then you have opportunities for more legal machinations that go on and on and on. So this is frustrating, no doubt, but I think it is the cleanest way to move forward.
Okay, and I'm sorry, just so I'm clear, all we're allowing the opponents to do is identify new evidence, that what they argue is new evidence, and respond to that, and then that just settles the issue of whether it's new evidence or not.
Correct. So okay. if they don't identify correctly all the new evidence that they think is new, that they had their chance, and we're done.
Okay.
Onus is not on us to nail all the new evidence.
So, Mayor Ennis, I'll just restate my motion. It is to continue the hearing till October 5th at
3 p.m.,
and to give any party the opportunity to submit a rebuttal to what they believe is new evidence in this proceeding by no later than
5 p.m. October 28th.
5 p.m. October 28th. That's my
October,
motion.
September, don't you think?
September 28th.
September?
September 28th.
It's been a long day. September 28th. Is there a second?
There's a second. All right.
So was it 4:30? I just need to clarify. Are we going to add a condition about the affidavit or
so
memorialization?
And when we come back on October 5th, one of us will make a motion to either accept or overturn the hearing officer's report with conditions.
And I'm supportive of that condition.
But we will not make that motion until this intervening period has elapsed.
All right, so the motion's on the table. Sue, would you please call the vote on the motion that was made by Commissioner Fish and seconded by myself?
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, everybody, for coming down and for participating in this hearing. Often the City Council sits as a policymaking body. We're not being asked in this to choose whether having an ICE facility anywhere in our city is a good thing or not. We have to go by the specific criteria in the land use approval and by the process, which, as you've heard, gets really complicated, and that's why we have our city attorney here. So that's why we're taking these steps to make sure that we're doing all of the legal issues right. And then what we're required to make our choice on is, as I said, not on the philosophical values or concerns about the facility, it's on whether it meets the safety concerns that the hearings officer addressed. And so that's what we'll be doing when we come back. So I would mention also that my decision is not based on how many people send me emails or letters or phone calls in the interim, that it's on the actual evidence. So if one person has a good point, then I would take that into account. But if 10 people make the same point, that doesn't make me take it any more into account. So just to let you know. So if you are going to send in new comments, please be sure to copy the council clerk so that they get into the record and so that all five of us get those points. And we won't be allowed to respond individually other than some of us do acknowledge receipt of incoming evidence. Again, because this is a quasi-judicial process and we have to follow the rules. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Well, just to make sure I've got this correctly, is we're at the deadline noted, we will take comments, the process will take comments on any alleged new evidence. That's all.
You want me to come in the middle of your vote? Comments would include rebuttal evidence. They have to have
correct.
The ability. Okay.
Yeah, rebuttal of the new evidence. Sorry, rebuttal of the new evidence. So if you're going to send in comments that is anything other than that, to your point, we're at a different point in the process now. And we do, so I'm going to vote aye.
Thank
we're
you.
Recessed.
We're adjourned.
Membership.
What's that?